Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court by Mark Twain, narrated by Norman Dietz. This book was first published in 1889. This recording is copyrighted 1988 by Recorded Books. When Hank Morgan is cracked on the head by a crowbar in 19th-century Connecticut, one of literature's most extraordinary fantasy tales begins to unfold. Humorous, devilishly insightful, and resoundingly contemporary, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court remains one of the most celebrated stories in the canon of American writing. Awakening to find himself in the England of King Arthur, Morgan discovers a world of fear, injustice, and ignorance hiding behind a utopian mirage. The tough-minded Yankee, the embodiment of scientific knowledge, must overcome daunting obstacles, including Merlin the Magician, as he sets out to enlighten 6th-century England. Only Mark Twain's unparalleled gift for storytelling could produce this acrobatic tour de force that moves from broad comedy to biting social satire and from the pure joy of wild hijinks to deeply probing insights into the nature of man. And now, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Preface. The ungentle laws and customs touched upon in this tale are historical, and the episodes which are used to illustrate them are also historical. It's not pretended that these laws and customs existed in England in the 6th century. No, it's only pretended that, inasmuch as they existed in the English and other civilizations of far later times, it's safe to consider that it's no libel upon the 6th century to suppose them to have been in practice in that day also. One's quite justified in inferring that wherever one of these laws or customs was lacking in that remote time, its place was competently filled by a worse one. The question as to whether there's such a thing as divine right of kings isn't settled in this book. It was found too difficult. That the executive head of a nation should be a person of lofty character and extraordinary ability was manifest and indisputable. That none but the deity could select that head unerringly was also manifest and indisputable. That the deity ought to make that selection, then, was likewise manifest and indisputable. Consequently, that he does make it, as claimed, was an unavoidable deduction. I mean, until the author of this book encountered the Pompadour and Lady Castlemaine and some other executive heads of that kind. These were found so difficult to work into the scheme that it was judged better to take the other tack in this book, which must be issued this
sample complete. Ready to continue?